395. That the words, "Whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold," signify that to do violence to faith, even when thus separated, would be sacrilege, is evident from the signification of Cain, which is faith separated from charity, and from the signification of seven, which is what is sacred. The number seven was esteemed holy, as is well known, by reason of the 6 days of creation, and of the seventh, which is the celestial man, in whom is peace, rest, and the Sabbath. Hence this number occurs so frequently in the rites of the Jewish Church, and is everywhere held sacred. And hence also both longer and shorter periods of time were distinguished into sevens, and were called weeks, such as the great intervals of time to the coming of the Messiah. Daniel 9, verses 24 and 25. And the time of 7 years was called a week by Laban and Jacob. Genesis 29, verses 27 and 28. For the same reason, wherever it occurs, the number seven is accounted holy or inviolable. Thus we read in David, 7 times a day do I praise thee. Psalm 119, verse 164. In Isaiah, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days. 30, verse 26. Here the sun denotes love, and the moon faith from love, which should be as love. As the periods of man's regeneration are distinguished into 6 before the 7th arrives, that is, the celestial man, so also are the periods of his vastation, up to the time when nothing celestial remains. This was represented by the several captivities of the Jews, and by the last or Babylonian captivity, which lasted 7 decades or 70 years. It is also said several times that the earth should rest on its Sabbaths. The same is represented by Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel. His heart shall be changed from man, and a beast's heart shall be given unto him, and 7 times shall pass over him. 4, verses 16, 23, and 32. And in John, concerning the vastation of the last times, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues. Revelation 15, verses 1, 6, 7, and 8. And that the Gentiles should tread the holy city underfoot 42 months, or 6 times 7. Revelation 11, verse 2. And again, I saw a book written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Revelation 5, verse 1. For the same reason, the severities and augmentations of punishment were expressed by the number 7, as in Moses. If ye will not yet for all this obey me, then I will chastise you 7-fold for your sins. Leviticus 26, verses 18, 21, 24, and 28. And in David, render unto our neighbors 7-fold into their bosom. Psalm 79, verse 12. Now as it was a sacrilege to do violence to faith, since as has been said it was to be of service, it is said that whosoever should slay Cain, vengeance should be taken on him 7-fold. 396. That Yahuwah set a mark on Cain, lest any should smite him, signifies that the Lord distinguished faith in a particular manner in order that it might be preserved, is evident from the signification of a mark and of setting a mark on anyone as being a means of distinction. Thus in Ezekiel, Yahuwah said, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark, that is, mark out, upon the foreheads of the men groaning and sighing for all the abominations." 9, verse 4. Hereby marking out the foreheads is not meant a mark or line upon the front part of their heads, but to distinguish them from others. So in John it is said that the locust should hurt only those men who had not the mark of God on their foreheads. Revelation 9, verse 4. Here also to have the mark means to be distinguished. And in the same book we read of a mark on the hand and on the forehead. Revelation 13, verse 16. The same thing was represented in the Jewish church by binding the first and great commandment on the hand and on the forehead, concerning which we read in Moses. Hear, O Israel, Yahuwah our God is one Yahuwah. And thou shalt love Yahuwah thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And thou shalt bind these words for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 8, 11, verses 13 and 18. By this was represented that they should distinguish the commandment respecting love above every other. And hence the signification of marking the hand and the forehead becomes manifest. So in Isaiah, I come to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and shall see my glory, and I will set a mark upon them. 66, verses 18 and 19. And in David, O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thy handmaid. Set upon me a mark for good, and they that hate me shall see and be ashamed. Psalm 86, verses 16 and 17. From these passages the meaning of a mark is now evident. Let no one, therefore, imagine that any mark was set upon a particular person called Cain, for the internal sense of the word contains things quite different from those contained in the sense of the letter. 397, verse 16. And Cain went out from the faces of Yahuwah, and dwelt in the land of Nod toward the east of Eden. By the words, Cain went out from the faces of Yahuwah, is signified that faith was separated from the good of the faith of love. He dwelt in the land of Nod, signifies outside truth and good. Toward the east of Eden is near the intellectual mind, where love reigned before. 398. That to go out from the faces of Yahuwah signifies to be separated from the good of the faith of love may be seen in the explanation of verse 14. That to dwell in the land of Nod signifies outside truth and good is evident from the signification of the word Nod, which is to be a wanderer and a fugitive. And that to be a wanderer and a fugitive is to be deprived of truth and good may be seen above. That toward the east of Eden signifies near the intellectual mind where love had previously reigned, and also near the rational mind where charity had previously reigned, is evident from what has been said of the signification of the east of Eden. Namely, that the East is the Lord, and Eden, love. With the men of the most ancient church, the mind, consisting of the will and the understanding, was one. For the will was all in all, so that the understanding was of the will. This was because they made no distinction between love, which is of the will, and faith, which is of the understanding, because love was the all in all, and faith was of love. But after faith was separated from love, as was the case with those who were called Cain, no will reigned any longer. And as in that mind the understanding reigned instead of the will, or faith instead of love, it is said that he dwelt toward the east of Eden. For as was just now observed, faith was distinguished, or had a mark set upon it, that it might be preserved for the use of mankind. 399, verse 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Enoch. And he was building a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. The words, Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, signify that this schism or heresy produced another from itself that was called Enoch. By the city which he built is signified all that was doctrinal and heretical therefrom. And because the schism or heresy was called Enoch, it is said that the name of the city was called after the name of his son Enoch. 400. That Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Enoch, signifies that this schism or heresy produced another from itself, is evident from what has been previously said, as well as from what is stated in the first verse, that the man and Eve his wife produced Cain. So that the things which now follow are similar conceptions and births, whether of the church or of heresies, whereof they form a genealogy, for these are similarly related to each other. From one heresy that is conceived, there is born a host of them. 401. That it was a heresy, with all its doctrinal or heretical teaching, that was called Enoch, is in some measure evident from this name, which means the instruction so begun or initiated. 402. That by the city that was built is signified all the doctrinal and heretical teaching that came from that heresy, is evident from every passage of the word in which the name of any city occurs. For in none of them does it ever mean a city, but always something doctrinal or else heretical. The angels are altogether ignorant of what a city is, and of the name of any city, since they neither have nor can have any idea of a city, because they are in spiritual and celestial ideas, as was shown above. They perceive only what a city and its name signify. Thus, by the holy city, which is also called the Holy Jerusalem, nothing else is meant but the kingdom of the Lord in general, or in each individual in particular in whom is that kingdom. The city and mountain of Zion also are similarly understood, the latter denoting the celestial of faith and the former its spiritual. The celestial and spiritual itself is also described by cities, palaces, houses, walls, foundations of walls, ramparts, gates, bars, and the temple in the midst, as in Ezekiel 47, in the Revelation 21, verse 15 to the end, where it is also called the Holy Jerusalem, verses 2 and 10, and in Jeremiah 31, verse 38. In David it is called the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High, Psalm 46, verse 4. In Ezekiel, the city Yahweh there, 47, verse 35. and of which it is written in Isaiah, "The sons of the stranger shall build thy walls. All they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of Yahuwah, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel." 40 verses 10 and 14. In Zechariah, "Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, and the mountain of Zion, the mountain of holiness." 8 verse 3. Here, the city of truth, or Jerusalem, signifies the spiritual things of faith, and the mountain of holiness, or of Zion, the celestial things of faith. As the celestial and spiritual things of faith are represented by a city, so also are all doctrinal things signified by the cities of Judah and of Israel, each of which, when named, has its own specific signification of something doctrinal. But what that is, no one can know except from the internal sense. As doctrinal things are signified by cities, so also are heresies. And in this case, every particular city, according to its name, signifies some particular heretical opinion. At present, we shall only show from the following passages of the Word that in general a city signifies something doctrinal or else heretical. Thus we read in Isaiah, "In that day there shall be five cities in the land of Egypt, speaking with the lip of Canaan, and swearing to Yahuwah Zeboeth. One shall be called the city Heres." 19 verse 18. Here the subject treated of is the science of spiritual and celestial things at the time of the Lord's advent. So again, when treating of the valley of vision, that is, of fantasy. "Thou art full of tumults, a tumultuous city, an exulting city." 22 verse 2. In Jeremiah, speaking of those who are in the south, that is, in the light of truth, and who extinguish it, "The cities of the south have been shut up, and none shall open them." 13 verse 19. Again, "Yahuwah hath purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. Therefore he maketh the rampart and the wall to lament. They languished together. Her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars." Lamentations 2, verses 8 and 9. Here anyone may see that by a wall, a rampart, gates, and bars, doctrinal things only are meant. In like manner in Isaiah, "This song shall be sung in the land of Judah, we have a strong city. Salvation will set the walls and the bulwark. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth fidelities may enter in." 26 verses 1 and 2. Again, "I will exalt thee, I will confess to thy name, for thou hast made of a city a heap, of a defense city a ruin. A palace of strangers shall not be built of the city forever. Therefore shall the strong people honor thee, the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee." 25 verses 1, 2, and 3. In this passage there is no reference to any particular city. In the prophecy of Balaam, "Edom shall be an inheritance, and out of Jacob shall one have dominion, and shall destroy the residue of the city." Numbers 24, verses 18 and 19. Here it must be plain to everyone that city here does not mean a city. In Isaiah, "The city of emptiness is broken, every house is shut, that the cry over wine in the streets cannot enter." 24 verses 10 and 11. Here, the city of emptiness denotes emptinesses of doctrine, and streets signify here as elsewhere the things which belong to the city, whether falsities or truths. In John, when the seventh angel poured out his vial, the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Revelation 16, verses 17 and 19. That the great city denotes something heretical, and that the cities of the nations do so too, must be evident to everyone. It is also explained that the great city was the woman that John saw, 17 verse 18, and that the woman denotes a church of that character has been shown before. 403. We have now seen what a city signifies. But as all this part of Genesis is put into an historical form, to those who are in the sense of the letter, it must seem that a city was built by Cain and was called Enoch, although from the sense of the letter they must also suppose that the land was already populous, notwithstanding that Cain was only the firstborn of Adam. But as we observed above, the most ancient people were accustomed to arrange all things in the form of a history, under representative types. And this was to them delightful in the highest degree, for it made all things seem to be alive. 404, verse 18. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. All these names signify heresies derived from the first, which was called Cain. But as there is nothing extant respecting them except the names, it is unnecessary to say anything about them. Something might be gathered from the derivations of the names. For example, Irad means that he descends from a city, thus from the heresy called Enoch, and so on. 405, verse 19. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. By Lamech, who was the sixth in order from Cain, is signified vastation, in consequence of there being no longer any faith. By his two wives is signified the rise of a new church. By Ada, the mother of its celestial and spiritual things, and by Zillah, the mother of its natural things. 406. That by Lamech is signified vastation, or that there was no faith, is evident from the following verses, 23 and 24, in which it is said that he slew a man to his wounding, and a little one to his hurt. For thereby a man is meant faith, and by a little one or little child, charity. 407. The state of a church in general is thus circumstanced. In process of time it departs from the true faith and finally ends in no faith. When there is none, it is said to be vastated. This was the case with the most ancient church among those who were called Canaanites, and also with the ancient church after the flood, as well as with the Jewish church. At the time of the Lord's advent, this last was in such a state of vastation that they knew nothing about the Lord, that he was to come into the world for their salvation, and they knew still less about faith in him. Such was also the case with the primitive Christian church, or that which existed after the Lord's advent, and which at this day is so completely vastated that there is no faith remaining in it. Yet there always remains some nucleus of a church, which those who are vastated as to faith do not acknowledge. And thus it was with the most ancient church, of which a remnant remained until the time of the flood, and continued after that event. This remnant of the church is called Noah. 408. When a church has been so vastated that there is no longer any faith, then and not before it begins anew. That is, new light shines forth, which in the word is called the morning. The reason why the new light or morning does not shine forth until the church is vastated is that the things of faith and of charity have been commingled with things profane. And so long as they remain in this state, it is impossible for anything of light or charity to be insinuated, since the tares destroy all the good seed. But when there is no faith, faith can no longer be profaned, because men no longer believe what is declared unto them. And those who do not acknowledge and believe, but only know, cannot profane, as was observed above. This is the case with the Jews at the present day, who, in consequence of living among Christians, must be aware that the Lord is acknowledged by Christians to be the Messiah whom they themselves have expected, and still continue to expect. But yet they cannot profane this because they do not acknowledge and believe it. And it is the same with the Mohammedans and Gentiles who have heard about the Lord. It was for this reason that the Lord did not come into the world until the Jewish church acknowledged and believed nothing. 409. The case was the same with the heresy called Cain, which in process of time was vastated. For although it acknowledged love, yet it made faith the chief and set it before love. And the heresies derived from this one gradually wandered from it. And Lamech, who was the sixth in order, altogether denied even faith. When this time arrived, a new light or morning shone forth, and a new church was formed, which is here named Ada and Zillah, who are called the wives of Lamech. They are called the wives of Lamech, although he possessed no faith, just as the internal and external church of the Jews, who also had no faith, are also in the word called wives, being represented by Leah and Rachel, the two wives of Jacob, Leah representing the external church, and Rachel the internal. These churches, although they appear like two, are yet only one. For the external or representative, separate from the internal, is but as something idolatrous or dead, whereas the internal, together with the external, constitute a church, and even one and the same church, as Ada and Zillah do here. As, however, Jacob and his posterity, like Lamech, had no faith, the church could not remain with them, but was transferred to the Gentiles, who lived not in infidelity, but in ignorance. The church rarely, if ever, remains with those who, when vastated, have truths among them, but is transferred to those who know nothing at all of truths, for these embrace faith much more easily than the former. 410. Vastation is of two kinds. First, of those who know and do not wish to know, or who see and do not desire to see, like the Jews of old and the Christians of the present day. And secondly, of those who in consequence of their ignorance neither know nor see anything, like both the ancient and modern Gentiles. When the last time of vastation comes upon those who know and do not desire to know, that is, who see and do not desire to see, then a church arises anew, not among them, but with those whom they call Gentiles. This occurred with the most ancient church that was before the flood, with the ancient church that was after that event, and also with the Jewish church. The reason why new light shines forth then and not before is, as has been said, that then they can no longer profane the things revealed, because they do not acknowledge and believe that they are true. 4.11. That the last time of vastation must exist before a new church can arise is frequently declared by the Lord and the prophets, and is there called vastation or laying waste, in reference to the celestial things of faith, and desolation in relation to the spiritual things of faith. It is also spoken of as consummation and cutting off. See Isaiah 6, verses 9, 11, and 12. 23, verses 8 to the end. 24. 42, verses 15 to 18. Jeremiah 25. Daniel 8. 9, verses 24 to the end. Zephaniah 1. Deuteronomy 32, Revelation 15, 16 and following chapters. 4:12, verse 20. And Dada bare Jabal. He was the father of the dwellers in tents and of cattle. By Ada is signified as before the mother of the celestial and spiritual things of faith. By Jabal, the father of the dweller in tents and of cattle, is signified doctrine concerning the holy things of love, and the goods thence derived which are celestial. 4:13. That by Ada is signified the mother of the celestial things of faith, is evident from her firstborn Jabal being called the father of the dwellers in tents and of cattle, which are celestial because they signify the holy things of love and the goods thence derived. 4:14. That to dwell in tents signifies the holiness of love is evident from the signification of tents in the word, as in David, Yahuwah, who shall abide in thy tent? Who shall dwell in the mountain of thy holiness? He that walketh upright and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2. In this passage, what it is to dwell in the tent or in the mountain of holiness is described by holy things of love, namely the walking uprightly and working righteousness. Again, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their discourse to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tent for the sun. Psalm 19, verse 4. Here the sun denotes love. Again, I will abide in thy tent to eternities. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Psalm 61, verse 4. Here the tent denotes what is celestial, and the covert of wings what is spiritual thence derived. In Isaiah, by mercy the throne has been made firm, and one hath set upon it in truth, in the tent of David, judging and seeking judgment, and hasting righteousness. 16, verse 5. Here also the tent denotes the holiness of love, as may be seen by the mention of judging judgment and hasting righteousness. Again, look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feast. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tent that shall not be moved away. 33, verse 20. This treats of the celestial Jerusalem. In Jeremiah, thus said Yahuwah, behold, I bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and will have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap. 30, verse 18. The captivity of tents signifies the vastation of what is celestial, or of the holy things of love. In Amos, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David which is fallen, and will fence up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of eternity. 9, verse 11. Here the tabernacle in like manner denotes what is celestial and the holy things thereof. In Jeremiah, the whole land is laid waste. Suddenly are my tents laid waste, and my curtains in a moment. 4, verse 20. And in another place, my tent is laid waste, and all my cords are plucked out. My sons are gone forth from me, and they are not. There is none to stretch my tent any more, and to set up my curtains. 10, verse 20. Here the tent signifies celestial things, and curtains and cords spiritual things thence derived. Again, their tents and their flocks shall they take. They shall carry off for themselves their curtains and all their vessels and their camels. 49, verse 29. This treats of Arabia and the sons of the east, by whom are represented those who possess what is celestial or holy. Again, into the tent of the daughter of Zion the Lord hath poured out his wrath like fire. Lamentations 2, verse 4. This treats of the vastation of the celestial or holy things of faith. The reason why the term tent is employed in the word to represent the celestial and holy things of love is that in ancient times they performed the holy rites of worship in their tents. But when they began to profane the tents by profane kinds of worship, the tabernacle was built and afterwards the temple, and therefore tents represented all that was subsequently denoted first by the tabernacle and afterwards by the temple. For the same reason, a holy man is called a tent, a tabernacle, and a temple of the Lord. That a tent, a tabernacle, and a temple have the same signification is evident in David. One thing have I asked of Yahuwah, that will I seek after, that I may remain in the house of Yahuwah all the days of my life, to behold Yahuwah in sweetness, and to visit early in his temple. For in the day of evil shall he hide me in his tabernacle, in the secret of his tent shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up against mine enemies round about me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices of shouting. Psalm 27, verses 4, 5, and 6. In the highest sense, the Lord is to his human essence is the tent, the tabernacle, and the temple. Hence every celestial man is so called, and also everything celestial and holy. Now as the most ancient church was better loved of the Lord than the churches that followed it, and as men at that time lived alone, that is, in their own families, and celebrated so holy a worship in their tents, therefore tents were accounted more holy than the temple which was profaned. In remembrance thereof, the Feast of Tabernacles was instituted, when they gathered in the produce of the earth, during which, like the most ancient people, they dwelt in tents. Leviticus 23, verses 39 to 44, Deuteronomy 16, verse 13, Hosea 12, verse 9. 4:15. that by the father of cattle is signified the good that is derived from the holy things of love is evident from what was shown above, verse 2 of this chapter, where it was shown that a shepherd of the flock signifies the good of charity. Here, however, the term father is employed instead of shepherd, and cattle instead of flock. And the word cattle, of which Jabal is said to be the father, follows immediately after tent, whence it is evident that it signifies the good that comes from the holiness of love, and that there is meant a habitation or fold for cattle, or the father of them that dwell in tents and in folds for cattle. And that these expressions signify goods from the celestial things of love is evident from various passages in the Word, as in Jeremiah, "I will gather the remnants of my flock out of all lands whither I have scattered them, and I will bring them again to their folds, that they may be fruitful and multiply." 23, verse 3. In Ezekiel, "I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the mountains of the height of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie down in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel." 34, verse 14. Here folds and pastures denote the goods of love, of which fatness is predicated. In Isaiah, "He shall give the rain of thy seed wherewith thou shalt sow the ground, and bread of the increase of the ground shall be fat and full of oil. In that day shall he feed thy cattle in a broad meadow." 30, verse 23. Here by bread is signified what is celestial, and by the fat whereon the cattle should feed, the goods thence derived. In Jeremiah, "Yahuwah hath redeemed Jacob, and they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the good of Yahuwah, for the wheat and for the new wine, and for the oil, and for the sons of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden." 31, verses 11 and 12. Here the holy of Yahuwah is described by wheat and oil, and the goods derived from it by new wine, and the sons of the flock of the herd, or of cattle. Again, "The shepherds and the flocks of their cattle shall come unto the daughter of Zion. They shall pitch their tents toward her round about. They shall feed everyone his own space." 6, verse 3. The daughter of Zion denotes the celestial church, of which tents and flocks of cattle are predicated. 4:16. That the holy things of love and the derivative goods are signified is evident from the fact that Jabal was not the first of those who dwelt in tents and in folds of cattle. For it is said likewise of Abel, the second son of man and Eve, that he was a shepherd of the flock, and Jabal was the seventh in the order of descent from Cain. 4:17, verse 21. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of everyone that playeth upon the harp and organ. By his brother's name was Jubal is signified the doctrine of the spiritual things of the same church. By the father of everyone that playeth upon the harp and organ are signified the truths and goods of faith. 4:18. The former verse treated of celestial things belonging to love, but this verse treats of spiritual things belonging to faith. And these are expressed by the harp and organ. That by stringed instruments, such as harps and the like, are signified the spiritual things of faith, is evident from many considerations. similar instruments and also singing in the worship of the representative church represented nothing else. And it was on this account that there were so many singers and musicians, the cause of this representation being that all celestial joy produces gladness of heart, which was expressed by singing, and in the next place by stringed instruments that emulated and exalted the singing. Every affection of the heart is attended with this, that it produces singing, and consequently what is connected with singing. The affection of the heart is celestial, but the consequent singing is spiritual. That singing and that which resembles it denote what is spiritual has been evident to me from the angelic choirs, which are of two kinds, celestial and spiritual. The spiritual choirs are easily distinguished from the celestial by their vibrant singing tone, comparable to the sound of stringed instruments, of which, by the divine mercy of the Lord, we shall treat hereafter. The most ancient people referred what was celestial to the province of the heart, and what was spiritual to that of the lungs, and consequently to whatever pertains to the lungs, as to the singing voice and things like it, and therefore the voices or sounds of such instruments. The reason for this was not merely that the heart and lungs represent a kind of marriage, like that of love and faith, but also because the celestial angels belong to the province of the heart, and the spiritual angels to that of the lungs. That such things are meant in the passage before us may also be known from the fact that this is the word of the Lord, and that it would be destitute of life if nothing more were implied than that Jubal was the father of such as play upon the harp and the organ. Nor is it of any use to anyone to know this. 4.19. As celestial things are the holy things of love and the derivative goods, so spiritual things are the truths and goods of faith. For it belongs to faith to understand not only what is true, but also what is good. The cognitions of faith involve both. But to be such as faith teaches is celestial. As faith involves both of these, they are signified by two instruments, the harp and the organ. The harp, as everyone knows, is a stringed instrument, and therefore signifies spiritual truth. But the organ, being intermediate between a stringed instrument and a wind instrument, signifies spiritual good. 4.20. In the word, mention is made of various instruments, each having its own signification, as will be shown of the Lord's divine mercy in its proper place. Here, however, we shall adduce only what is said in David. I will sacrifice in the tent of Yahuwah sacrifices of shouting. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto Yahuwah. Psalm 27, verse 6. Here by tent is expressed what is celestial, and by shouting, singing, and singing praises, what is spiritual thence derived. Again, sing unto Yahuwah, O ye righteous, for his praise is comely for the upright. Confess ye to Yahuwah on the harp, sing unto him with the psaltery, an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of Yahuwah is right, and all his work is in the truth. Psalm 33, verses 1 to 4. This denotes the truths of faith, concerning which these things are said. Spiritual things, or the truths and goods of faith, were celebrated with the harp and psaltery, with singing and analogous instruments. But the holy or celestial things of faith were celebrated with wind instruments, such as trumpets and the like. And this was why so many instruments were used about the temple and so often, in order that this or that subject might be celebrated with certain instruments. And in consequence of this, the instruments came to be taken and understood for the subjects that were celebrated with them. Again, I will confess to thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing praises with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall sing when I sing praises unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. Psalm 71, verses 22 and 23. Here also the truths of faith are signified. Again, answer to Yahuwah in confession, sing praises upon the harp unto our God. 147, verse 7. Confession has respect to the celestial things of faith, and therefore mention is made of Yahuwah. And to sing praises upon the harp has reference to the spiritual things of faith, wherefore God is spoken of. Again, let them praise the name of Yahuwah in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. 149, verse 3. Here the timbrel signifies good, and the harp truth, which they praise. Again, praise God with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and the organ. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the cymbals of shouting. 150, verses 3, 4, and 5. These instruments denote the goods and the truths of faith, which were the subjects of praise. For let no one suppose that so many different instruments would have been here mentioned unless each had a distinct signification. Again, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the mountain of thy holiness and to thy habitations. And I will go into the altar of God, unto God, the gladness of my exaltation. Yea, I will confess unto thee upon the harp, O God, my God. Psalm 43, verses 3 and 4. In Isaiah, referring to the things that belong to faith and the cognitions thereof. Take a harp, go about the city, play well, sing many songs, that thou mayest be called to remembrance. 23, verse 16. The same is expressed still more plainly in John. The four animals and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of incense offerings, which are the prayers of the saints. Revelation 5, verse 8. Here it must be evident to everyone that the animals and elders had not harps, but that by harps are signified the truths of faith, and by golden vials full of incense offerings, the goods of faith. In David, the performances on the instruments are called praises and confessions. Psalm 42, verse 5, 69, verse 31. And in another place in John, I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sang a new song. Revelation 14, verses 2 and 3. And in another place, I saw them standing by the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Revelation 15, verse 2. It is worthy of mention that angels and spirits distinguish sounds according to their differences with respect to good and truth. not only those produced in singing and by instruments, but also those of voices. And they admit none but such as are in accord, so that there may be a concord of the sounds, and consequently of the instruments, with the nature and essence of what is good and true. 421, verse 22. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. By Zillah is signified, as previously stated, the mother of the natural things of the new church. By Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, the doctrine of natural good and truth. Brass denoting natural good, and iron natural truth. By Naamah, the sister of Tubal-Cain, is signified a similar church, or the doctrine of natural good and truth outside of that church. 422. How the case was with this new church may be seen from the Jewish church, which was both internal and external. The internal church consisting of celestial and spiritual things, and the external church of natural things. The internal church was represented by Rachel, and the external by Leah. But as Jacob, or rather his posterity understood by Jacob in the word, were such as to desire only external things or worship in externals, therefore Leah was given to Jacob before Rachel. And by blear-eyed Leah was represented the Jewish church, and by Rachel a new church of the Gentiles. For this reason, Jacob is taken in both senses in the prophets, in one denoting the Jewish church in its perverted state, and in the other the true external church of the Gentiles. When the internal church is signified, he is called Israel. But of these matters, by the divine mercy of the Lord, more will be said hereafter. 423. Tubal-Cain is called the instructor of every artificer, and not the father, as was the case with Jabal and Jubal. And the reason is that previously there were no celestial and spiritual or internal things. And the term father is applied to Jabal and Jubal to denote that such internal things then first began to exist, whereas natural or external things did exist before, but were now applied to internal things, so that Tubal-Cain is not called the father, but the instructor of every artificer. 424. By an artificer in the word is signified a wise, intelligent, and well-informed man, and hereby every artificer in brass and iron are signified those who are acquainted with natural good and truth, as in John. With violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians, and of pipers and trumpeters, shall be heard no more at all in her. And no artificer of whatsoever craft shall be found any more in her. Revelation 18, verses 21 and 22. Harpers, here as above, signify truths. Trumpeters, the goods of faith. An artificer of any craft, one who knows, or the science of truth and good. In Isaiah, the artificer melteth a graven image, and the smelter spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He seeketh unto him a wise artificer, to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. 40 verses 19 and 20. This treats of those who from fantasy forge for themselves what is false a graven image, and teach it so that it appears true. in Jeremiah. At the same time as they are infatuated, they grow foolish. The doctrine of vanities, it is but a stock. Silver beaten out is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the artificer and of the hands of the smelter, blue and raiment. They are all the work of the wise. 10:1, 8, and 9. This signifies one who teaches falsities and collects from the word things with which to forge his invention, wherefore it is called a doctrine of vanities and the work of the wise. Such persons were represented in ancient times by artificers who forge idols, that is, falsities, which they adorn with gold, that is, with a semblance of good, and with silver, or an appearance of truth, and with blue and with raiment, or such natural things as are in apparent agreement.